Thank you very kindly. It is indeed a great pleasure to present to you at this particular time, national and international known as the hardest working man in show business.
Call me the Hound.
Oh!
Meanwhile, back in the jungle.
Hey, they broke our echo again. Just in time for the Joe Meek tribute, huh?
Well, how could you put more echo on the end of that song, you know? The echo tried to kill itself.
Anyway, this is, hold on, I'm going to go work on. Now, this is WFMU East Orange. I'm the Hound, and Il Bruch is here. Morning, Il Bruch.
I is.
Remember
Good
when,
morning.
Hey, remember when Bill Suggs was running the station? They used to plow the driveway in the snow.
They used to come and get you at your home. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Death to trust front.
In a monster truck.
Today we're doing something a little unusual. Not our normal thing. And I kept thinking over the years someone else would do this. It's not exactly my specialty, but I'm a fan of it. And what we're doing today is the extraneous world of Joe Meek. And I need the echo to say words like extraneous.
Or Meek.
And, Joe Meek, that was a whole set of records, instrumental records, produced by Joe Meek. He was Britain's first independent pop record producer.
And easily its weirdest.
Easily its weirdest. That was the Tornadoes, his tale story. That was probably Joe's pinnacle of commercial and artistic success there. Tale Star, 1963. Before that, we had the Saints with Husky Team. The Outlaws did Swinging Low. The Blue Men, which is actually Joe from his solo album that only took 25 years before it was issued. It was Orbit the Moon. And we opened up with the Flea Wreckers doing Green Jeans. What we're going to do today, we're going to do about five sets of Joe Meek, the Joe Meek story. We're going to tell you all about Joe Meek, who he was, what he done, how he died, and why you should like this garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also going to throw in about four sets of the old R&B, and a blues, we'll do a blues hangover, maybe two or three sets of R&B, just to keep you interested.
A little reality check.
Get the requests out of the way and all that.
A little beer with your mescaline.
Mm-hmm. And we got some knuckleheads in the news, but the main part of the show today will be the extraneous world of Joe Meek.
So, folks, I just want to draw an appropriate mental image for you, since this is now Joe Meek Radio, as Phil Schaap would say. Hound and I scored a couple of the Sputnik's old spacesuits at that Guernsey's auction, so we're wearing those and we're drinking tea. Hound is now back. He's taking the echo machine into the toilet. I don't know, is anything coming out of it? Well, you know, look at the bright side. You had that very unmusical beep thing instead, which is really kind of Meek-esque, I guess, is all you neophytes are about to find out.
I got it working.
Beauty.
Anyway.
Give me some. Some.
Okay, now we can say the extraneous world of Joe Meek. And I know, listen, this stuff, some of it is kind of lightweight, and some of it is not lightweight. Some of it is pretty amazingly raw and rocking, and we'll tell you, but the things, he just had very unusual ideas about the way instruments should sound,
yeah.
The way things should be done.
And we have to sort of put those radio quotes around the word instruments as well.
Right.
It really is kind of one of those things where if you listen to this stuff enough, if you give it a chance, it kind of makes everything else seem weird by comparison. So,
but we're going to come back to Joe Meek. Right now, I want to get the requests out of the way. We've got five requests from last week that I want to get out of the way. And kick it off with Bobby Peterson Quintet. Mama Get the Hammer, There's a Fly on Baby's Head. I like that, the fly on baby's head defense.
Right now, incidentally, our sponsor's a Jew, Mr. Goldie. Mr. Goldie has put out a great thing, the King Kong hair straightener. A lot of you cats, you know, have the frightening wigs. So this puts it down, man. I mean, oh, so much. That's how you get the white chicks.
To prove, Mr. Everett, we'd like to show the rest of the country that rock and roll is a safe and sane dance for all young people.
It hasn't hurt me any, has it?
I told you once, I told you twice, I told you.
hope it didn't offend anybody.
Nice talking to you, baby. Nice talking to you, baby. Nice talking to you, baby. Now why don't you talk to me?
She's a cucumber.
Nice for walking with your baby. Nice for walking with your baby. Nice for walking with your baby. Now why don't you walk with me?
She's a cucumber.
Oh, we can walk and talk and talk and walk. Strolling down the avenue. Yes, but what we say and what we do, I'll leave it all up to you. A nice of talking to your baby. A nice of talking to your baby. A nice of talking to your baby. Now why don't you talk to me?
She's a cucumber.
We can walk and talk and walk, strolling down the avenue. Yes, but what we say and what we do, I'll leave it all up to you. A nice talking to your baby. A nice talking to your baby. A nice talking to your baby. Now why don't you talk to me?
She's a cucamonga.
Now why don't you walk with me?
Cucamonga, she's.
Now why don't you talk to me?
Monga, she's a cucamonga.
Why don't you talk to me?
She's a cucamonga.
Yes, I had a request, but the mic won't fit, so I like to do something else.
Judge, I told all the people that was living under us that I was having a party in my house and making a whole lot of fuss. I said, ain't no use to you of coming upstairs knocking, cause everybody'll be having a ball and the whole house will be rocking. I'm letting the doorbell ring. Yes, I'm letting my doorbell ring. Well now, I say everybody better come on in the room and let's have some fun, cause I'm letting my doorbell ring. The landlord knocked on my door. He says, you're making too much noise. I says, come on in the room, Mr. Landlord, and have some fun with the boys. The old man looked around. He says, give me time to think. He ducked in the kitchen. He says, what you got to drink? I'm letting my doorbell ring. Yeah, you better know I'm letting my doorbell ring. Well, now, y'all better come on in the room, and let's have some fun. I'm letting my doorbell ring. The window and I headed for the roof. I'm letting my doorbell ring. Yes, I'm letting my doorbell ring. Well now, I done had my fun. Now I'm on the run, Judge. But I'm letting my doorbell ring. Yes, I'm letting my doorbell ring. You know I ain't gonna answer no door, cause I know that ain't Avon calling out there. You police have just got to come on and get me, Papa, cause
meanwhile, back in the States.
Found here, this is WFMU East Orange. Larry Dale there with Let the Doorbell Ring. Larry will be leading his house rockers along with Bob Gaddy at the Little Tramps tonight, the little restaurant next to Big Tramps on 21st Street. Jimmy Spruill will not be present. He's down in Florida. Before that, Sam Butara and the Witnesses. She's a cucamonger. We heard Baron Twist in his Nights, You Got Me Rockin'. J.L. Crockett did Goodbye, Mabel. No, Look Out, Mabel. That goes out to Mr. C. And Bobby Peterson Quintet with the Baby Defense. Mama Get the Hammer, There's a Fly on Baby's Head. And we got the requests out of the way.
There's a fly on Baby's space helmet.
Let's finish the announcements since we started them with Larry Dale, and then we'll do one news story, and then we'll go back into the Joe Meek thing. Let's see. Tonight over at Brownie's, the Fleshtones and the Vice Royals. And what's that band that you like, Bruce? Where the Wig Cats?
The Upper Crust.
Upper Crust. And that's tonight at Brownie's. There's the Henchmen and the Swinging Neckbreakers at the Court Tavern in New Brunswick tonight. Degeneration along with Spanky, the Goops, and Special Head at CBGB's tonight. The House Rockers, I mentioned them, at Little Tramps. Richard Hell at the Poetry Project at St. Mark's Church this Wednesday, 9 o'clock. We're going to give away tickets to that in a minute. Mm-hmm. And there's another one of those Lucky Monkey parties Wednesday at Don Hill's. That's like a, it's kind of like a green door with trashy 50s music instead of trashy 70s music. Yeah,
precisely.
It was fun. I went to the first one. It was really fun.
I'm told Dennis Kelly had a really good time. He played with this sort of ad hoc strip band, pickup strip band.
I heard him play. I was watching the stripper. He was good.
Understandable under the circumstances.
Well, let's do one news, quick news story. We got some good news here.
Not necessarily good news for everyone involved.
Dateline San Francisco. The daughter of San Diego Chargers quarterback coach Dwayne Painter was swept to her death by a wave Thursday as she scattered her mother's ashes into the ocean along the rocky Mendocino coast. The body of Debbie Menta, age 32, was found yesterday morning by Coast Guard rescuers. Painter's son, 23, was also injured in a freak accident trying to rescue his sister, but pulled himself towards safety and is in stable condition. The two were scattering the ashes of their mother, Diane Painter, who committed suicide hours after San Diego won the AMC championship on January 15th. Friends say Diane Painter, who was divorced from her husband, was upset she would not be going to the Super Bowl with him. She started her car in the garage of their home in Bellevue, PA, and died of carbon monoxide poisoning. Quote, "It's just a series of family tragedies," says Leo Menta, father of Debbie Menta's husband, Mark. The couple also have an 18-month-old son, Taylor.
I don't see this as a family tragedy. I see this as an indictment of the wave itself. I've always said that that move should be banned.
Well, it's nice to establish blame in these things, Bruce.
It's important. It really is basically the only thing you can do.
I think it's I would call it another football-related death and just say just...
Ban the game outright.
Ban the game outright.
Ban the gridiron.
Make them play without helmets. That's what I say.
Just stop doing the wave.
Okay. What are we doing here? We
Keep
are...
your seats.
The extraneous world of Joe Meek. Okay, we're gonna start with the beginning of Joe Meek's life. He was born.
The story begins at the beginning.
He was born Robert George Joe Meek. Joe was his nickname in Newent, Gloucestershire, which is in England, on a little fruit and dairy farm on April 5th, 1929, where he learned to fix radios. And according to his brothers in a British TV documentary, he liked artichokes and sausages. He took apart a lot of radios and stuff. He eventually joined the RAF, and he got out in 1953, where he moved to London and took a job engineering at the IBC studio, where he engineered a lot of Lonnie Dunegan's hits and some early British rock and roll records. He totally redesigned the studio there to his own specs and got fired for being difficult. This was around 1958. Now, around the same time, he was very into mysticism and magic. And he had a tarot card reading in which he claimed to that Buddy Holly was in grave danger, and he had a premonition of Buddy Holly's death a year before Buddy Holly's death, and he at that time was trying to get a hold of Buddy Holly to warn him. Didn't quite work, but he did find a backer and form his own record company, which was the Triumph label, which lasted from 1960 to 61. They had a couple of little hit records, and this very first set, these are records engineered, many of them were written by Joe himself, and along with his partner, who was even weirder than him, what's the partner's name again?
I forget.
I'm having a hard time with my notes. The guy who co-wrote the Buddy Holly song who claims...
I know who you're talking about, but...
Wait, I'll find... Oh, Jeff Goddard.
There we go.
Jeff Goddard, who was Joe's partner. But Joe was also tone-deaf and gay, and he was kind of like... The only thing you can describe him, if Phil Spector was a gay British Martian, he might come somewhere near where Joe Meek was at.
Yeah, one of the many subtexts in this story, folks, is that... Compression really does cause brain damage. Mm-hmm. It does drive you insane.
So what we're going to hear on our next set are a couple of early British rockers. This is all pre-Beatles, early 60s Britain. They're really trying to come to grips with American rock and roll, which is, of course, way superior. But Joe was really in love with American rock and roll. He was a real experimenter, and he would take these acts and work them and come up with something interesting. We're going to hear Peter Jay and the Jaywalkers, Ricky Wayne, who was this bizarre bodybuilding weightlifter guy who I guess Joe had an affair with, a couple of songs from him, then the Flea Wreckers, who were the house band for a while at Triumph, and then we're going to finish up with Chick, Ted Cameron Group, and the DJs.
So straighten your ties and play along at home, folks.
Yes.
Think plaid.
Extraneous World of Joe Meek, Part 2.
I'm just too late now. I've missed the date now. I've lost my mate. Now I'm just too late. I'm just too late now. I know my fate now. She shut the gate. Now I'm just too late. How could I be such a fool to miss the night and the joy? Now she'll find somebody new, and I'll be a lonely, lonely boy. I'm just too late now. Don't feel too great now. Crossed off her slate. Now I'm just too late.
Remember, my friends, future events such as these will affect you in the future.
A chickaroo.
I saw red, I lost my head. She's got me on a hook. But now she's playing with my love. My life is all shook up. Oh, what can I do? Is she some a chickaroo? How can I say what I want her? That she's taken my heart. She says we'll never part. Was she some a chickaroo?
Destined to be one of the hit songs of the day.
Have pity, baby, baby, but don't pick on me. Don't hypnotize my heart or set me free. Ooh, yeah, I heard about you, all you can do. Ooh, baby, but don't pick on me.
Pick on me.
Well, 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 you got eyes for hypnotize. Honey lips and shapely hips. I'm in love, but I'm a fool.
Oh, baby, you're much too cruel.
Oh, baby, well, don't pick on me. Pick on me.
your outer space disc jockey with a request for Earth.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back in the jungle.
Hal here, WFMU.
What a strange tweed and chrome jungle it is.
Mm-hmm. Joe Meek story, part two there, with Chick with Ted Cameron Group and DJs. Early in the morning. That was a skiffle outfit that Joe managed to souse up a little bit.
So it was kind of like a piffle outfit.
Yeah.
Before that, scuffle.
Before that, the Flea Wreckers did Sunday Date.
As only they can.
I like them better than the Shadows. Yeah, we heard two of, we both sides of Ricky Wayne's first single, Hot Chickaroo and Don't Pick on Me. He was Mr. UK. He was like a pumped up muscle builder guy that Joe had taken the smitten to.
So Mr. Uck, if you leave out the periods.
Mm-hmm. And we opened up with Peter J and the Jaywalkers, Just Too Late. And we'll be getting back into some Joe Meek after the next set. We're going to do a blues hangover.
Joe Meek Radio.
Yes. Getting back into the news. Bogota, Colombia. A Holstein cow was reported in critical condition after being shot in the head by another cow, a radio station said yesterday. The bovine suspect stepped on a trigger of a loaded rifle left in the field by a farm worker near the town of Velez, 150 miles north of Bogota. The impact caused the weapon to fire, sending a bullet straight into the head of another animal grazing nearby. Colombia has long had one of the highest murder rates, but this was the first case of violence spreading to farm animals.
Kind of sounds like Claudine Longet to me.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Say, Bossy, how does this work?
One more news story. This is kind of a sad one. It seems that Madonna is trying to buy the rights to the life story of Darby Crash, the lead singer of the Germs, who died in the 1980 suicide pact in which his girlfriend actually lived through.
Ooh.
It was one of those, you fix me, I'll fix you up, heroin suicides, I think.
Here, I fixed you, done.
Yeah.
Stranger than a train? I don't know.
I'm waiting for the Germs backlash myself.
Well, it's pretty weird. All of these so-called punk bands that kind of sound like Aerosmith, you know, parading around in Germs t-shirts in their videos and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty bizarre.
It sure is.
I want to see people bringing back the Germs burn.
The germ burn?
The germ burn. That little scar that says, I'm Darby's.
Roscoe wears a scar on his hand that is a germ burn.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, a germ burn is a cigarette burn administered by a member of the Germs. We forgot to plug this benefit, first ever slapdash ball, Saturday, tonight. It's 9 o'clock at the West Beth Theater. It's a benefit for the people who brought you the Blood Orgy of the Carnival Queens. And it's $10 to get in, and they'll be doing some of the musical numbers from that very incredible musical.
It's well worth checking out.
It is.
The musical numbers are definitely something to write home about.
151 Bank Street. Okay, we're gonna go into Blues Hangover just as a change up and get some of the blues requests out of the way they've been building up, and then we'll come back with more Joe Meek. We're gonna give away some tickets right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is for this Wednesday. At 8 p.m., Richard Hell and Susie Timmons will be reading at the Poetry Project at St. Mark's Church. That's 10th Street and 2nd Avenue. And the first two callers at 201-678-7743 will each get a pair of tickets to that Poetry Project. Richard Hell.
And Susie Timmons.
Yep. Okay, let's get into Blues Hangover. This is WFMU East Orange. I'm driving. And after Blues Hangover, we'll do part three of the Joe Meek story.
So Joe will be driving.
But I'm gonna let you slide this time, yeah? You're greasy enough. My first song that I sing to your head. I call it Run Meatball.
You better learn to treat me better so we can get along, or you wake up one morning and I'll be long gone. You better learn to treat me better. You better learn to treat me better. You better learn to treat me better, baby. I'll knock your head abroad. You got the people talking about me, telling a lot of lies. I won't stand for it, woman. Cut out all your jobs. You better learn to treat me better. You better learn to treat me better. You better learn to treat me better, baby. Or I'll knock your head abroad. City in the palm of my hand. If you learn to treat me better, if you learn to treat me better, you better learn to treat me better, baby, so we can get along.
American boy sings his way into your heart.
Week will be not Brotherhood Week, but Anti-White Week.
Yes, I cut your killing. Yes, I cut your killing. So, baby, don't you cry to the phone ball with back.
And meanwhile, back in the States.
Out here, this is WFMU East Orange. And that was today's Blues Hangover, for those of you just waiting to throw up, with Otis Spann, It Must Have Been the Devil, on the Checker label. Heard Smokey Smothers on Federal, Give It Back. Freddie King on drums on that one. Lonesome Sundown on Accello did Learn to Treat Me Better. Cousin Leroy, that's on Herald, Waiting at the Station. And we opened up with Jerry McCain and Choo Choo Rock, It's Only He Can. And just one quick news story, and we'll get back into our Joe Meek thing. It's actually not a news story. This was sent in by listener Pat Lazito.
Mm-hmm.
And I will, Pat, I am keeping this handwriting sample to be analyzed by Dr. Kwan.
It does kind of cut both ways, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
This is from Hound's Reading Shelf?
Yes. Well, I'll read you the letter. I was reading Publishers Weekly and came upon this announcement. I'm sure your listeners of both sexes will be interested. It's good to know that we'd all benefit from women not wearing bras. It's not only a theory, but it should be tested. It's a book that he has circled here that's being published by Avery Books. It's called Dressed to Kill, The Link Between Breast Cancer and Bras. It's coming out in July. It's $10.95. The authors are Sidney Ross Singer and Soma Grismiger.
There you go, folks.
It explores and documents the theory that tight-fitting brassieres cause disease. 30,000 first printing. And the author will be going on tour.
Howard Hughes, marked for death.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Pat. Now, getting back into the Joe Meek story, as we're calling it, the extraneous world of Joe Meek. We're talking
Joe Meek Radio.
We're in the years 1960 and 61, where Meek, after being fired from Landstone Studio, had opened his own studio at 304 Holloway Road. There's a plaque there now. It was over a leather store, and it was basically an apartment where he started building his own studio. He was big on building his own reverb units and tape echoes, and he was fascinated by outer space noises and the sound of his own toilet flushing masked backwards, which is what you hear in the beginning of Telstar. And even though Joe couldn't sing, he was an avid songwriter, and we'll hear him in the studio a little later in his attempt to write songs. He was tone deaf, as you might have
gathered by now.
Yeah, but listening to his records. But really, the years 60 and 61, when he was running his own label, Triumph, and he really started hitting his peak. He really started getting into the good stuff, and perhaps the crowning glory, besides Telstar, of Joe's career, was not issued until this year. It was his actual solo album, but it was issued under the name of The Blue Men, as four songs appeared on an EP, which is highly collectible. I've never actually even seen an original.
It's kind of a mono test record.
Yeah, basically. No, it's stereo, I think.
Oh, is it stereo? Okay.
Yeah, it's a 12-song LP was finally issued this year of what was going to be Joe's solo album. It's called I Hear a New World, and it's perhaps the only rock and roll concept album that's any good. It's called A Stereo Fantasy, composed and devised by Joe Meek, directed by Rod Freeman, who was his arranger, and basically they were trying to market this thing as a stereo test record. So we'll be hearing some of that from I Hear a New World. We'll also be hearing the next song, and we'll be hearing the title track from that, and then something else a little later. And the next song in will be his biggest hit up to that date, which was Johnny Layton, Johnny Remember Me. He was a soap opera star in Britain, and this was a really great rock and roll snuff record. And then we'll hear Mike Berry's first record and some Danny Rivers and Jerry Temple, some early British rockers that Joe produced.
Mm-hmm.
Part 3 of the Joe Meek story from his solo LP, I Hear a New World. You can get it on a CD on the Triumph label. It's out now in England. You can try to order it from somewhere. I got mine at Subterranean, and it's absolutely fantastic. It's really great late night music. And here's the title track. Sorry about that cue, folks.
Calling me.
Blazing desire erupting into volcanic passion.
When the mists are rising and the rain is falling and the wind is blowing cold across the moor, I hear the voice of my darling, the girl I love and lost a year ago. Well, it's hard to believe, I know, but I hear her singing in the sign of the wind blowing in the treetops way above me. Yes, I'll always remember till the day I die. I'll hear her cry, Johnny, remember me. Someday I guess I find myself another little girl to take the place of my true love. But as long as I live, I know I'll hear her singing in the sight of the wind blowing in the treetops way above me. Yes, I'll always remember till the day I die. I'll hear her cry, oh, Johnny, remember me.
Not be held back in our efforts by any kind of law or moral principle.
If you find it not so bad.
A man's body, a fly's head.
The night was black, the wind was cold. I stood on the bridge as the river rolled. Thought of my troubles, I wanted to wait. I seemed to hear a voice from the deep telling me no more tomorrow. Of loneliness, no more tomorrows in my caress. Come to me, and there'll be no more tomorrows of loneliness. Thought of my baby, where could she be?
Searches beyond his horizons.
My baby doll, my baby.
know the taste of purple.
In the jungle.
Pound here, WFMU. On with our... That was the third part of our Joe Meek story. That's the end of the Triumph years. That's Love Dance of the Sarus from his unissued solo LP, which finally
came
out. For
those few of you who didn't know.
Yeah. I Hear a New World. We heard Mike Berry in The Outlaws, My Baby Doll. And later on, we're going to hear Joe actually composing that song, My Baby Doll. And to be surprised that his method of songwriting is quite intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
For that, we heard Gary Temple, No More Tomorrows, a theme I can get behind. Danny Rivers did Can You Hear My Heart, and Johnny Layton did Johnny Remember Me.
Isn't that a great song?
That goes out to Karen the Mormon. And the Blue Man opened it up. That's Joe Meek also from his solo album, I Hear a New World.
Boy, did he.
He did hear a new world.
Boy, did he.
Unfortunately, Triumph Records didn't last, and
I wonder why.
It was the hit records that really kind of put him under, in addition to Johnny Remember Me, which was a very controversial record in its day because of the it was called a gimmicky record, and it was attacked in the British press. He also had one other hit, which was by Michael Cox. It was a fairly, a fairly gloopy, as little Alex would say, ballad called Angela Jones. I won't play that. Some of this Joe Meek stuff is really, really lame.
Yeah.
Like, he actually produced up to, at one point he was producing over 160 45s a year. And of course, writing most of them, and not all of them are that great. Let me give you an example of, being a gay British man, he had real, pretensions towards bad pop music and that sort of British hall, music hall kind of sound.
Yeah.
Let me play here's an interesting example of what a lot of his stuff sounds like. I won't play this whole song, I promise. I'll just play a little bit of it, but this is a
little dramatic reading action.
I mean, there's a lot of this kind of stuff in the Joe Meek catalog.
Walk with me in paradise garden.
Yeah, it takes a special man to want to get behind something like this.
Well, Joe liked to get behind young talent and give a big push, preferably when they were holding their ankles.
Well, there you go.
But
it's not the easy way, it's the English way.
Yeah, but, you know, our good friend and a heavy contributor to today's show, Miriam Lennon and Billy Miller, they faxed over some dramatic reading material. Some of this is from Thunderbolt, the Joe Meek magazine, and some of it is from the Joe Meek Appreciation Society newsletter. We'll be giving you those addresses a little later also, mm-hmm. if you're interested. But, Bill Brooch, would you like to do a dramatic reading?
I'd like to dump a little sobriquet on you all. There was a young man named Joe Meek, this is from the Poetry Corner, whose keen streak of deep-seated pique produced one disc per week with such guile and mystique that the anti-Meek clique called it cheek. Dear Whack.
Wow. That's poetry. Well, you know, we've got about 5 minutes before Vibe Report time, and before we get back into explaining to you what happened to Joe after the demise of Triumph, I want to play you this Tornadoes record, which, as Miriam Lina points out, David Bowie ripped off. When it gets to the middle part, you'll see a very famous David Bowie song was inspired by this. This is called The
but
Breeze
it's still
and
good.
I. This was actually issued in America on the only Tornadoes album that came out in America, which was, of course, Telstar. It was issued here in 1963 on the London label. Song, you know, that's not the one that David Bowie stole. I'm going to play the right one. I think the right one is the one before that on this album.
You experiencing Joe Blur already? Is my mic on?
Yes, your mic is on.
Oh.
And it's been on.
Oh, the joy of it all.
You know, these Joe Meek ones, they kind of run together. It's just we're waiting for the Vibe Report.
meanwhile, back in the States.
Out here at WFMU. There's a couple from the Tornadoes album. Hear that little bridge in there. I think that's exactly where David Bowie stole Suffragette City from, which was suggested originally by Miriam.
Mm-hmm.
Lena?
You could always play that James Brown song he stole Fame from.
Yeah, we can do that. Or there was that, what's that one he stole from Otis Redding that sounds just like the Fa Fa song? Anyway, we don't want to talk about David Bowie. We have other British sissies to speak of. Joe Meek is the fellow we're talking about today.
Sissy Sissoir.
So as Triumph Records reached its demise in 1961 due to, you know, the usual problems of distributing an independent label, meaning getting paid for the record, Joe started leasing masters to other labels. Most notably, Decca was the site of his greatest successes. Decca in America, some of them were issued on London. And those records were distinguished by the words, an RJM production, or later the Meeksville sound.
Mm-hmm.
RJM standing for Robert George Meek. And there's millions of those records. He really got into the majestically ghostly sound. And then 1962 was kind of his banner year for production of weird stuff. And he gets more into Buddy, who, of course, Buddy Holly's death shook him up greatly because he had these premonitions of Buddy dying. And he
was pre-shook up, too, so
right,
it didn't help.
He, of course, he got more and more into the world of the occult, and I guess he was he's probably the first rock figure to be involved with Aleister Crowley's teachings before Jimmy Page, and he didn't even have to...
Before it was hip.
He didn't even have to wear his guitar around his knees to do it.
Or use a bow.
And... November 11th, 1963, Joe was arrested for importuning, that is, soliciting in a public toilet by a police officer. He was fined $15.
He was asking the toilet to audition.
I think he was testing the echo in the toilet myself. But, so he had been harassed a lot as a gay man, and
even the police
were giving him a hard time, yeah. But he also had this thing where he would groom... his stars to sort of base them on American stars. For example, Mike Berry, who we heard My Baby Doll, will be hearing his tribute to Buddy Holly in a few minutes. He was groomed as the next Buddy Holly. And, of course, Hines, who was the bass player in the Tornadoes, was later groomed to be the new Eddie Cochran. He was also one of Joe's proteges. And Danny Rivers, we heard him. He was kind of groomed to be the new Elvis. He did take a lot from Larry Parnes, who was the great, you know, British gay manager guy of the late 50s era, who groomed Billy Fury and... guys like that and Adam Faith and all those kind of guys.
Yeah, this was the original Brian Epstein.
Also in 1960, speaking of Brian Epstein approached Joe Meek with the Beatles in 1962, trying to get them a record deal. And
I get paid by the Segway, folks.
Joe turned them down.
Why?
He claimed it was Matchbox music. He thought they were terrible. He thought they were just completely unoriginal. They were just playing covers, and he thought their sound was just really primitive and stupid, and he thought guitar groups were going out of style.
If one of them was blonde, the history of rock and roll would be different today.
Yeah, they would have been a clav.
I submit to you.
A clav. Harmonica, possibly.
They would have gotten to that backward stuff much sooner.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know if I think we're going to give up on Roscoe since he's 5 minutes late, and we're going
to
get back into our Joe Meek tribute.
A man that knows about the abuses of compression.
Yes. Okay,
invigoration of the humors thereof. Ooh, yeah. More dramatic readings. I have to say, I can't tell the difference on these things between the Thunderbolt stuff and the RJM newsletter stuff.
It's the same people.
Oh, is it? Okay. Well, a personal testimonial. In my travels with the A-Bones, I met a lot of, like, weird collector guys and stuff, and usually was, like, really, really brusque, if not outright unpleasant to them, being a drinking man and all. But I got to say, the guy from the RJM Society was the nicest motor scooter I have ever met in any
John
of that
Reap.
Area.
Is it Repsch? Is his name Repsch?
I don't know whether it was the same guy or not.
He was this guy
that does voiceovers and stuff, and he was the head of the RJM Society, and he, like, you know, he didn't have wooden teeth. I mean, he wasn't nuts, you know. He wasn't, you know, he admitted to and, in fact, seemed interested in the world around him beyond his actual hobby. He was funny. He was nice. Lasted all the way through an especially drunken and confused A-Bone set in London.
And he's written
the nicest damn guy.
And he's written a fascinating book called The Legendary Joe Meek.
So buy several copies of it.
It only came out in Britain, but I got my copy at See Here. Maybe they still have it. It was published by Woodford House in London.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you the address. The Joe Meek Appreciation Society, which publishes a newsletter and a fanzine, you can get a hold of them at care of Thunderbolt, 43 Norfolk, Thornton Heath, Surrey, CR4 8ND, United Kingdom. Again, Joe Meek Appreciation Society, care of Thunderbolt, 43 Norfolk, next line, Thornton Heath. The state is Surrey, S-U-R-R-E-Y, and the zip there is CR48ND, and that's in the United Kingdom.
Folks, do us a favor. Tell them that you heard about it on the Hound Show, and if you want to join up, realize that you're joining the likes of Dennis Dykin, Miriam Linna, and other great drummers.
Now, among the fascinating
acolytes to the Meek
reading
faith.
Material that was faxed to me by Miriam Linna this morning is a little piece on Joe's cars. Let's explain to you what Joe was driving around and during his years of fame, and then we'll play some more music because we don't have a vibe report today.
There's fine restaurant reviews of the place that John Layton runs now.
There's actually a letter here.
Good stuff in here.
I've been a regular reader of Practical Classics since it started, and my own car is a 1966 Wolseley 6110 Mark II. I'm writing with an unusual appeal in connection with the cars that Joe Meek is known to have owned. Many readers wonder, who was Joe Meek? Well, he was blah, blah, blah. Okay, these are the cars that Joe had. He had a 1958 Series 2 Sunbeam Rapier in pearl gray and a Pippin Red two-tone regular number 973. He had a TMT and a 1965 Ford Zodiac Mark III in pale blue and a silver blue regulation. He also had an earlier version of a Ford Zodiac Mark III.
I believe the Zodiac was a model that was manufactured for English.
Mm-hmm.
By Ford farm out factories in England.
Okay, so
maybe Richie can straighten us out on this.
Joe, this is, we're talking about the year 1962, and Joe is now leasing his masters around mostly to Decca, and he's communing heavily with Buddy Holly Spirit, him and his songwriting partner Jeff Goddard. And Jeff Goddard claims that Buddy, during a seance, came to them and helped them write this next song, which was a huge smash in Britain.
Of course he did.
Of course he did. And here it is. It's called A Tribute to Buddy Holly. Holly.
Well, there ain't no other woman gonna make me feel it this way. touch. I say so much. Oh, well, please don't touch. I shake so much.
Well, don't you touch it, baby, because I'm shaking so much. Don't you touch it, baby, because I'm shaking so much.
I get so nervous when I see her eyes that shine. She looks her eye through me and the chills run down my spine. Well, please don't touch. I shake so much. Well, please don't touch. I shake so much. Well, I don't wonder why she's got a ghost in me. I wanna be a bachelor and fancy free. Running from the preacher for a war relief. I'm gonna spend shaking like a leaf. Do you remember the first time you really touched a magic? Well, I opened up my mouth, but the rest of me just wouldn't speak. Well, please don't touch. I shake so much. Oh, well, please don't touch. I shake so much.
People thought what it would be like to see a person's head amputated. Think of things so horrible that the human mind cannot imagine them. See all this and more when you see on stage, in person, that real dead body is given away to some lucky person at every performance. Also,
cloak hanging down his back. Jack the Ripper. Well, that's the one big cat I just hate to fight.
Jack the Ripper. Jack the Ripper.
Well, they both tell us deep. Well, the galley mate says, "Your name is Blood." When she walks down the street, he's never far behind. Again, his one-track mind.
Jack the Ripper.
Really, really catches up when the lights go down.
Jack the Ripper. Jack the Ripper.
Cause that's the time he starts his dirty up, shove around.
Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper. When they walk down the street, ever got him, it says, "Your name is Blood." Young will never catch him, cause he's a much too clever. But if they do, man will get the leather, yeah.
The Ripper, Jack the Ripper, the Ripper, Jack the Ripper.
With the streets of London can never save.
The Ripper, Jack the Ripper.
They never
Jack the Ripper at a show this way. So you pretty little girl, let's take a my advice and don't walk the streets of London late at night. When he walks down the street, there's a gal he met, says your name is Blood.
This is Nervorama.
Come on over here, baby. Come on, hold me tight. Come on over here, baby. You got what I like. Come and kiss me, baby. Come and kiss me right. Give me some love, baby. You got what I like. You got the heaven in your eyes. You got the sugar on your head. You got every dollar fine. You kiss me, my heart. Let's go. Come on over here, baby. I mean tonight. I mean tomorrow. You got what I like. Kiss me, my heart, let's go. Come on over here, buddy, buddy. I mean tonight. I mean tomorrow. You got what I like. You got what I like. You got what I like. Woo!
I say the thing all of us are most concerned with is sex. Like, how far a girl has to go with a boy just to be popular.
Back in the jungle.
Hound here, WFMU East Orange, with part four of the Joe Meek story. That was Hines, Joe's protege and the bass player in the Tornadoes, with one of his better solo records, Questions I Can't Answer.
I have to say that's my favorite RJM production, I think, of the bunch.
And you know, Bruce, your band did a fine cover version of that.
Almost, yeah.
45 last week. Last year.
Last week, last year.
Before that, we heard Cliff Bennett and the Rebel Rousers with You Got What I Like. Screaming Lord Such and the Savages, the perennial prime minister candidate. 38 election losses in a row. The great Screaming Lord Such. Jack the Ripper. Richie Blackmore on lead guitar there. West 5 and the Cavaliers did the Johnny Kidd tune, Please Don't Touch. And we opened up with Mike Berry and the Outlaws, tribute to Buddy Holly. And you can tell which part Buddy wrote from Beyond the Grave when they break into Peggy Sue. So there's Joe. And that, those are really the gravy years. That's also about the time Telstar by the Tornadoes becomes a huge international hit, the first British record to top the American charts in 63.
Mm-hmm.
But as everything in Joe's life, it turned to crap because he was involved in a terrible lawsuit with some retarded French composer who claimed that he stole the melody for Telstar from his song, which was on some soundtrack. As it turns out, there's no possible way Joe could have heard the song because Joe had never been to France and the movie had never come out in England. It was never issued on a record. And so he did, after many, many years, he did end up losing the case and losing a lot of money. And everything seemed to go wrong for Joe, but those were the good years, and he was on top of the world until the Beatles came along, who he had turned down, and he reacted strangely and rather badly to the Beat era, and we'll be getting to that a little later. We're going to take a short break from Joe Meek.
Because you've earned one.
You have earned one. We'll be getting back into some of the normal American screaming rock and roll in a minute, but let's do a little bit of news, Bruce.
Let us. Leave us.
Hold it. I think I... We can do news without a laugh check right now, can't we?
Okay.
Boston. Sperm quality is down for the count, according to researchers. In a study of a Paris sperm bank, French scientists found no decline in the amount of semen produced by donors, but noticed that the sperm counts were low and had dropped by one-third over the last two decades.
Holy smokes.
Researchers say they could not explain their findings, but theories suggest pollution, differences in diet or lifestyle might be responsible. The findings are to be published today in the New England Journal of Medicine.
That's it, folks. It's time for the roaches to take over.
Count your sperms before you send them out, and don't send them out short, please.
Save it, baby.
Oh, I like, you know, New Yorkers are very always thinking fast and always thinking of themselves. Mm-hmm. And here's a good one. A despondent 34-year-old Queens man killed himself with a single shot to the head this week, and then a thief made off with his gun. Cops said Ulysses DeLion, who was upset that he had been unable to find a job, and it was being tossed out of his apartment that he shared with Julio and Anna Bercia on J Avenue in Maspeth. Detective said DeLeon went to the terrace of the two-bedroom apartment and shot himself. He then fell off the terrace onto the pavement. Cops found a suicide note with the body, but the gun was missing. They believe a passerby made off with the weapon.
Well, the bright side is that he wasn't fined for littering.
No, not at all. Okay, one time through the announcements, and then we're going to do a rock and roll set, and then we'll go come back and finish up the Joe Meek story. Okay, we've got a lot of things to announce. First off, the Slapdash Ball, this is over at Westbeth, 151 Bank Street. It's a benefit to
defray some costs.
To defray costs from the people who brought you the Blood Orgy to Carnival Queens. It's featuring a special guest star, Miss Coco Peru. And our very own friend Robin Kerrigan will be dancing. And recommend it highly.
In an inimitable way.
Over at Brownies tonight are the Fleshtones, the Vice Royals, and
the Upper Crust.
The Upper Crust, and a couple other bands. A bunch of other bands. I don't know who they are, though. At the Court Tavern in New Brunswick, the Swinging Neckbreakers and the Henchmen will be there tonight. Norton recording artists, the Henchmen.
That's a thrill-packed show guaranteed to excite.
Mm-hmm. Degeneration over at CBGB's at midnight, along with the Goop's Special Head, featuring Laurie S., formerly of WFMU, and Spanky. And speaking of Spanky, Jenny and Jesse from Degeneration will be hosting the Lucky Monkey Party Wednesday at Don Hill's. At the House Rockers, without Wild Jimmy Spruill, but with the mighty Larry Dale and the great Bob Gatti on piano, will be at the Little Tramps tonight. Not the big one, but the little restaurant next door to Tramps. And they are fantastic, even without the great Jimmy Spruill. He'll be back February 23rd.
And even with that sound man.
Mm-hmm. And St. Mark's Poetry Project this Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Richard Hell will be reading. Okay.
There you go. We've announced. Now you've got to go attend.
What do we got queued up here? We got... Ralph Wilson with Mickey Baker on guitar. What's shaking?
What's shaking? What's
WFMU, my favorite radio station ever. The Hounds on Saturday afternoons.
the sun.
G-99,
I wake up early every morning. Baby, with the rising sun. Thinking about my honey dripper. No, I'm the wrong, she's done. Well, if you see my baby, tell her I said to drag it home. If you see my honey dripper, tell her I said to bring it home. I ain't had no real God loving since my gal been gone. Miss Viola Lee.
We have a bag, and in every bag we have a thing.
you listen to me, you wide-mouthed punk. We've heard just about all we want from you.
Well, the preacher and the pulpit trying to say so. Sister and brother doing the rock and roll. Need to know what it's all about. And when the good sister begin to shout, the dad's right wrong on their toe. They ain't doing nothing but the rock and roll. I don't know, but I've been told. They ain't doing nothing but the rock and roll. Well, the music hot, the music dominant. Those good sisters are really jolly. The deacon look out for the corner of his eye.
Meanwhile, back in the States.
How dear. WFMU East Orange. Screaming Joe Neal, an old favorite here on the Hound Show. Rock and Roll Deacon. And now anybody with $2 can go out and buy that because the Norton label has reissued it the right way on a 45 RPM record. Screaming Joe Neal.
The way it was meant to be.
I know. There's very few guys whose first name is Screamin' that don't make good records.
So true.
I think Screamin' Lord Sutch was one of them.
To all you expectant parents, keep that in mind.
Before that, Lee Cole did Cool Baby. Jimmy Nelson did T99. The Echoes on the Swan label was Scratch My Back. And Ralph Wilson opened it up with What's Shaking. Now, getting back to our subject of Joe Meek. We're talking about the years. Well, as the beat boom takes over England, He does have a few big hits in there. The Honeycombs have by the right Toptic Charts, and of course Telstar, and the Tornadoes were doing well, and Hines had a few minor hits we'll be hearing from, but basically his mind starts unraveling. He's taking a lot of speed, and
there weren't that many wines in it to begin with, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and he had a lot of legal problems. He was a difficult man to begin with, and he recorded constantly, so he had a lot of expenses, and he was recording in his home. He basically got more and more paranoid as he went along. He was convinced that he was being bugged by the big studios. Oddly enough, a bug was found later after he died in his studio. And, of course, the arrest made the press, and he was arrested for importuning, which is soliciting, in a public toilet. And he was fined £15. He was very embarrassed by that because it made the papers, and his family saw it all. And all these things contributed to Joe's mental demise, in a way. He was convinced his cat was speaking to him. He made many tape recordings with his cat, and he would go out to the...
No, well, to Joe's credit, I mean, it was never really proved that his cat wasn't speaking to him.
But
so.
There's a British TV documentary which about Joe Meek, in which they actually have film footage of Joe playing tapes of the cat speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So the cat does, of course, I think my cat has a preference for Gene Pitney. I know we tend to project onto our pets,
or
so
our
to
familiars.
Speak, or in my case, I project things at my pet.
Mm-hmm.
But they were holding seances for Buddy Holly or Eddie Cochran, or if they couldn't find them, any earthly spirit, almost every night.
The kind of behavior that's sort of accepted now, but was sort of on the vanguard back then.
Mm-hmm. And Joe was just getting stranger and stranger, and he was getting closer and closer to Buddy's spirit. And like I said, he reacted badly to the beat boom. He got crazier and crazier as the years went along. And
Now the musical evidence of that.
Well, they were, eventually Joe had good reason to be worried. He was evidently he was a suspect in what was known as the suitcase murder. What was the suitcase murder of the, a young man, a 16-year-old man named Bernard Oliver, who was also known as Joe. Mm-hmm. See, in England, they'll call anybody Joe. Your name could be Bernard or Robert, or they'll name you Joe.
It's that stiff upper lip thing.
So this Bernard Oliver, 16, he was killed up in a Suffolk village tanning stone. He was cut up and stuffed into two suitcases, which were found several days later.
That better balances the load.
And whether he was, there is absolutely no evidence that Joe was the murderer, but he was convinced that the police suspected him as the murderer as they were rounding up any known, quote-unquote, sex criminals. Mm-hmm. And because he had had this soliciting arrest, the cops had been watching him and making him even more paranoid. And as it, as things went along for Joe, it looked, it was, things were looking a little bad. And
did they ever find the guy that actually did?
They never solved the suitcase murder.
I wasn't the prevailing belief that the guy managed to sort of cut himself up and distribute himself somehow amongst the two suitcases?
I don't think I ever read that theory. There's a theory that he could have been killed by some sailors.
It was a Royal Navy thing.
Yeah, but anyway, well. Miriam also called, there was a letter in, we didn't get it in our fax, but there was a letter to the Joe Meeks Appreciation Society about a man who claims to have taken acid with Joe. And also his boyfriend Hines was leaving him. He was really upset about that. And, it seems, Hines had given Joe a shotgun and Joe was into taking acid and going shooting and getting, he was getting pretty wild at the end.
Pretty groovy.
And the last days of Joe's life were, he was writing letters to his lawyer about the lawsuit with, he had lost the lawsuit for Telstar and lost a lot of money that had been in a fund for years and years. So what Joe did was what any self-respecting nut would do. He loaded up his shotgun, he went downstairs, and he blew his landlady's brains out. Mm-hmm. And then he went upstairs and he turned the gun on himself. The date was February the 3rd, 1967. It was the 8th anniversary of Buddy Holly's death. So they would be together forever. Buddy, Joe.
The landlady.
The landlady.
The guy in suitcases.
Like next, our next one up, we're going to be hearing, how are we going to start this set? Let's see. Well, we got some great stuff in this set. We got, we're going to hear Hines' Eddie Cochran tribute, Just Like Eddie. And then we're going to hear some really interesting, you can hear Joe's voice in this next one, which is The Tornadoes, Life on Venus. We'll play that first. And then you're going to hear Joe in the studio composing My Baby Doll. Now, what it seems to me is he's actually singing along to Sandy Nelson's Teen Beat, first played at 33, then at 45. You can hear the tone-deaf Mr. Meek in his compositional phase of his life.
Glory,
and then we'll hear Hines doing Just Like Eddie. How's that sound?
Is he singing or is he responding to the English diet?
Well,
you be the judge.
Okay, we're kicking it off with the Tornadoes. You can hear Mr. Meek's voice on this, I believe.
That is the rumor.
Newsflash. Signals have been received from the planet Venus. These resemble sounds similar to those created by a musical instrument such as an organ. So perhaps there is life on Venus.
me. You cook me good. You said you love me. You really should, cause you are my baby doll. You've got it. You gotta take it. Songs and everything and then oh baby, won't you be my girl? I know you love me true, cause I know that you want me to, cause every time you go, you and me, and all the things I do, cause I know you need. Your baby doll, baby, 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 you want me to love you and kiss you and be your baby doll. Cause you do something I never wanted to, but you threw me through and through. So hey, baby, baby, you be my baby, I'll be
presenting the greatest, yes, the greatest.
Take my hand, I'll lead you on. Never before has man been transformed into such hideous proportions. Never have teenage girls been subjected to the terrifying ordeal in the fantastic womb of torture.
Meanwhile, back in the jungle.
That was the Valley of No Return, and that is where we leave Mr. Joe Meek. Robert George Meek. That was from his solo LP, I Hear a New World, finally released. Counting backwards, this is what we heard. We heard the Honeycombs doing That's the Way. As Billy Miller pointed out, for years and years, people thought that that was Honey Lantry singing. It turns out Joe, at the end, he was so speeded up himself that he speeded the tape up of that to make it sound like it was a woman singing. It was actually the same guy who sang on Have I the Right, which I didn't play today because, I don't know, we never really liked that record. Bruce likes it, but maybe we'll play it.
A lot of new stuff.
Before the Honeycombs, we heard the Saxons and then the Saxon War Cry. And before that, the Blue Rons with Little Baby. And that was the nice Roy Orbison-style one. Before that, we heard Hines, his biggest UK hit, Just Like Eddie, his tribute to Eddie Cochran. Before that, we heard two takes of Joe Meek attempting to compose My Baby Doll, which we heard the final version of that by Mike Berry and the Outlaws earlier. And Joe, if I'm not imagining it, he was singing along at first to Sandy Nelson's Teen Beat Slowed Down to 33, and then to Teen Beat at the normal speed, composing his tune. What a voice, and what a whistler.
Sorry, I missed it, but Wild Girl and I were in search of Crawdaddy Simone by the Syndicats in the record library.
I forgot to bring that one. Well, Bruce was right. I was wrong. I wasn't sure if that was a Joe Meek record or not. Anyway, we opened up with the Tornadoes' Life on Venus, which Joe imitates an American.
It's one of those great, great bits of English culture. I think British guys trying to do American accents.
Another dramatic reading?
I don't know. Are we up for this?
Uh-huh.
This is from, I guess, Poets Corner in the in Thunderbolt, the RJM House organ, so to speak, entitled Lonely Old Joe, and it is attributed to P.J. Fuller in 1993. It begins, Joe, Joe, lonely old Joe, it was time to go. A lot did you know. I think I need echo for this. Lonely old Joe. A lot did you know about sound and music. Others stole your work. Much do they owe. Because you were the man, the master of sound, from a mic to a can. At last the people understand what a genius you really were. Wow, your music is making news. The tribute is overdue. Joe, we remember you. I hear a voice from beyond. Joe, we remember you. The sounds go on and on.
Oh, boy.
You can see the kind of minds we're dealing with
Thank
this stuff,
Bruce.
Folks.
Well, so concludes our tribute to the great Robert George Joe Meek.
And not a moment too.
27 years dead, yes, as of yesterday. And I'd like to thank, especially, well, Ilbruch, I'd like to thank you for all your great contributions to the show.
A rare trip into my record collection, yep. Folks. This is really kind of unusual.
And I'd especially like to thank Billy Miller and Miriam Lenner, who loaned us a lot of records, and Miriam, who was really great about going through the issues of Thunderbolt. And
selflessly faxing the very weirdest parts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we can spend a week on this. There's just so much weird stuff.
All the good parts are circled in magic marker and say yes! Exclamation point next to them.
It'll keep us very busy on slow news days.
The review of John Layton's restaurant, a suggestion of which satellite dishes to tour in rural England, etc.
The woman who had the totally psychic experience with Joe and Buddy Holly. And
the other person to write in to explain that they are members of 90 other fan clubs.
Let me give you that address. If you two want to join the Joe Meek Appreciation Society, care of Thunderbolt, 43 Norfolk Road, Thornton Heath, that's the town, Surrey, that's the state. The zip is CR48ND, and that's in the United Kingdom.
And mention that you heard our heartfelt, yet somehow awkward tribute to the great man here on WFMU.
Yes.
Show, Joe Meek Radio in the Tri-State area.
Okay, well, that wraps that up. We got 25 minutes left, and we can rock through it with our normal stuff. Let's do the announcements one last time, and then we're going to rock through the end of this thing with some of the old trash. The Blood Orgy to Carnival Queens invites you to the first ever Slapdash Ball featuring Miss Coco Peru and Robin Kerrigan. This is Westbeth Theater tonight, 151 Bank Street. Tickets are $10, and it is a benefit.
It's very worthwhile.
The Flesh Tones of the Vice Royals and others at Brownies tonight.
The Upper Crust.
Upper Crust. The Henchmen, the Swinging Neckbreakers, Court Tavern tonight. Degeneration along with Spanky the Goop's Special Head at CBGB's tonight. The House Rockers with Larry Dale and Bob Gaddy, the Little Tramps tonight. Richard Hale at the St. Mark's Poetry Project at St. Mark's Church Wednesday, 8 o'clock. And Lucky Monkey Party Wednesday at Don Hill's, brought to you by Jesse Mallon. And what is Jenny's last name? Skinny Jenny.
I have no idea. From the Mogador.
Yes.
Isn't that her last name?
There's our announcements, and let's get back into it. What do we got here? On the Wildcat label, Garland Davis.
I got a girl, yeah. Yeah.
romantic, bewildered you.
Station.
That's right. That's us, Personality Plus.
I no longer believe in miracles. My miracle didn't prove true. I no longer believe you should put your
you
station of the stars.
Star music, star talent for the real all-stars, meaning you, our listeners.
My young dove's calling, but I can't fly. My young dove's calling, but I can't fly. Listen, young dove, don't you cry. I'm gonna pull down the satellite from the sky. My young dove's calling, but I can't fly. My young dove's calling, but I can't fly. My young dove's calling, but I can't fly. I never saw a man in this world who could fly. I only heard of one that ever did try. My young dove's calling, but I can't fly. Calling, but I can't fly. My young dove's calling, but I can't fly. Listen, young dove, throw me a star, and then I'll know right where you are. My young dove's calling, but I can't fly. My young dove's calling, but I can't fly. My young dove's calling, but I can't fly. Listen, young dove, don't you cry. I'm gonna pull down a satellite from the sky. To you I'll fly. To you I'll fly. To you I'll fly. To you I'll fly. To you I'll fly.
To you I'll fly. Girls, this motherfucker's got rhythm, man.
Sound right here all day. We play music with you in mind.
There's a cat in town that you might know. He goes by the name of Domino. A long keychain and a diamond ring. A blue sport car, he's a crazy king. That guy can go, that cat. Gone guy, they all flip when he walks by. Long sideburns and cool white shoes, ready to go and never think the blues. That guy can go, that cat called Domino. Domino, Domino.
Domino.
got all the women in the palm of his hand. Coal black hair and a solid style, baby blue eyes and a crazy smile. That guy can go, that cat called Domino.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, back in his days.
Well, that certainly craps it up. Benny Joy there. Hey, boss man, I won't be in today. Send that one to everyone who got out of work in the snow. Calvin Bowes by request did Sophronia B. And Roy Orbison with an unreleased version of Domino. Hal Page did Thunderbird. And the Couplings did Young Doves Calling. Ada Ray, I No Longer Believe in Miracles. The Rebel Airs, Alaska Rock. And Garland Davis with the Spot Barnett Orchestra did I Got a Girl Over There. Bill Brooch, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill Brooch.
Outdid yourself today. And I once again thank Billy and Miriam, everybody else who contributed to today's show.
It was nice to be here to do myself. Thank you. Goodbye.
I think we really did God's work. I think Joe is looking at us right now.
Or Todd's work. I don't
Todd's
know.
Work,
Steve
yeah.
Lorber's work. I don't know. Somebody's.
Anyway, if the good Lord's willing and the crick don't rise, we'll be back next week. WFMU East Orange, Wild Girls Up. Next, one more from Joe Meek, the Tornadoes, Hines, and the gang to send you off with.
Music a lot. Hate it. Hate it.